ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 27। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव टीचिंग्स। मनोवचोदृक् करणे हितस्य साक्षात् कृतं मे परिबर्हणं हि विना पुमान एन महाविमोहा कृतांत पाशान्न विमुक्तमेशे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। द ट्रू एक्टिविटी ऑफ द सेंस ऑर्गन्स माइंड साइट वर्ड्स एंड ऑल द नॉलेज गैदरिंग एंड वर्किंग सेंसेस is to engage fully in my service. Unless his senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of that great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraj's stringent rope. Purport. It is stated in the Narada Pancharatra, Sarvopadhi Vinurmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam. Rishikena na Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. This is the conclusion of Bhakti. All the time, Lord Rishabhdev has been stressing devotional service. And now he is concluding by saying that all the senses should be engaged in the Lord's service. There are 5 senses by which we gather knowledge and 5 senses with which we work. These 10 senses and the mind should be fully engaged in the Lord's service. Without engaging them in this way, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. So Lord Rishabhdev is concluding his teaching or is concluding about the explanation of devotional service by saying that one should engage one's senses, the working and the knowledge gathering senses, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the path of devotional service or in the path of bhakti yoga, we see there is an amazing understanding in the principle of bhakti yoga. The process is very sublime, and at the same time it accommodates larger number of people. Anyone can practice devotional service. It is explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in one purport that all material activity leads to sense gratification. All conclusion of all material activities is to perform sense gratification. And all sense gratification leads to misery. And in devotional service we see that even though devotional service apparently appears almost similar like materialistic activities, but there is one difference. The difference is Krishna. Therefore, the residents of Vrindavan or the village of Vrindavan is like any other village. There is no difference. All regular activities are going on. There is a family life. There are cows. There are cowherd boys. There are cowherd women. And they are performing all of their activities similarly as if you go to any other village. There is no difference. Therefore, the general understanding of spirituality amongst the followers of the Vedic religion is that you have to go to the Himalayas. Go to Rishikesh and go to Haridwar and become detached from all of your activities. No attachment to the family, no attachment to your senses, no attachment to the object of the senses. What do you see there? Only mountains. Himalaya is not beautiful. Himalaya is awesome. It creates fear. But Vrindavan is different. In Vrindavan, because Krishna is involved, everything becomes very special. All activities continue to happen. They don't stop. But rather Krishna is added. And therefore, it simply does not become spiritual. Rather, it becomes transcendentally spiritual. Therefore, Rishabda is concluding that we don't stop our activities. We don't stop getting involved with the object of the senses. It is not possible. But our involvement with the object of the senses is in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes very amazing point in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in regards to who is qualified to practice devotional service. Who can practice devotional service? Sometimes we see that those who come in the path of spirituality, they complain that the path of spirituality is very cumbersome, very difficult one. When we come to the path of spirituality, it creates great hopelessness about our life. Then we can't do materially good. And because of our too much of conditioning, we can't do good in spiritual life also. So why bother? But here Srila Prabhupada, very amazing comment he makes to give us an understanding and also hopefulness of the practice of devotional service. Who can practice devotional service? He explains, on account of his association with the Mahatmas or a great souls, 100% in devotional service of the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, when we come in the association of pure devotees who are 100% in the service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. We don't know Krishna, but because we come in contact with pure devotees, then we come to know about Krishna, or we develop some attraction for Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment. Even though he has come to Krishna consciousness, even though he is practicing devotional service, but Prabhupada explains, he is still attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment. And not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. It appears to be really contradictory. On one hand, Srila Prabhupada explains, if you are attached to sense gratification, you cannot practice devotional service. Devotional service and sense gratification, they go ill together. Renunciation and devotional service together, they go together. But here Prabhupada explains, he is discussing about the eligibility for devotional service. He is talking about qualification. This becomes the law for practicing devotional service. And here Prabhupada explains, even if somebody is attached to sense gratification and fruitive activities, but if he has some unflinching, now unflinching means again, non-stop attraction for Krishna. So it's a contradiction that you are attached to sense gratification, but at the same time, you have an unflinching attraction for Krishna. Then such person becomes an eligible candidate for performing devotional service. One time, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was being operated in, I think, Jaslok Hospital, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw all the great acharyas, they have gathered in the spiritual abode. And Narad Muni is also there. And he saw Srila Prabhupada amongst all these acharyas. And he was narrating this dream to Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada came to meet him. And he said, when all these acharyas, they asked Srila Prabhupada, so what is the message? What is the report from the material world? So then Prabhupada said, in the material world, the report is that everybody is attached to sense gratification. Nobody has the determination to practice spirituality, including my followers, those who are practicing devotional service. But there is one qualification. What is that qualification? that they are simply attached to me. They have got some affection for me. That is the only qualification for them to be considered as devotees. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj narrated this story, Prabhupada said, that is true. Your only qualification is that you have got some affection for me. And this is what Prabhupada is explaining. Because of our conditioning and attachment to sense gratification, one may not be able to practice unflinching devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, there is an affection for the Lord and His devotees. And that is the greatest qualification to become a candidate to practice devotional service. Again, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna was discussing with Uddhava, he makes the same point that my devotee, when he is engaged in my service, what does he do? He engages in my service by hearing about me, glorifying about me. But at the same time, he is not completely disgusted with sense gratification. Na nirvino, na asakti. Na nirvino means he is not completely disgusted with material sense gratification. And at the same time, he is not very much attached to sense gratification. He is hanging in between. But still, Lord Krishna considered such a person as a qualified candidate to attain His love. So therefore, the process of Bhakti Yoga is so amazing. What does it do? It gives simply hope to everybody. Hridayananda Maharaj explains, again quoting Krishna in the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, Krishna explains, my devotee when he is performing devotional service, he sometimes falls back to the activities of sense gratification. He actually engages in the activities of sense gratification. But even though he is engaged in the activities of sense gratification, he knows very well that sense gratification leads to misery. In the heart of his heart, he completely knows this fact that sense gratification does not give any happiness. But because of his conditioned nature, he continues to engage. Krishna says, such a devotee, if he continues to hear about my glories, he'll become disgusted of material sense gratification and become an exclusive devotee. Therefore, even though Srimad Bhagavat and Bhagavad Gita, the presentation by the acharyas, the presentation of the Shukadeva Goswami, presentation of Suta Goswami, Krishna, when he speaks, they speak very uncompromising philosophy. Very heavy and very strong when they are presenting their philosophy. But when they behave, the behavior is very soft. Their presentation is very heavy. But when they see somebody making a mistake, they don't use the same philosophy against the mistaken behavior. Rather, they adopt another mean. This is explained again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Rupa and Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur made this comment. He said the behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he is very affectionate to his devotees. Even though his devotee makes big mistake, he performs very big sinful activity, what does he do? He actually does not take it very seriously. Rather, little service he glorifies. He in fact consider that little service to be very big. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita we see, Bhagavad Gita is not a complex philosophical dissertation by the Lord. Time to time in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, even though he speaks very strongly, but he exhibits his heart by saying how even little advancement in this path of devotional service can save us from most dangerous type of fear. I tell this story to our young children and they like this story very much. This is from the Mahabharata. It is not directly mentioned in the Mahabharata, but there is a commentary by Shripad Madhvacharya. He explains when there was a fight between Arjuna and Karna, it was the most interesting fight. It was supposed to decide the future of the battle. Karna was fighting against Arjuna. And Arjuna had Krishna on his side, Hanumanji was sitting, and he had this powerful weapon called Gandiva, and he had this beautiful transcendental chariot. And Karna had ordinary chariot, not so good weapons. So the fight was going on. And Arjuna, he would shoot his arrows at Karna. And sometime Karna's chariot would fly back to a long distance. And Karna again would drive back his chariot, come close to Arjun and fight. And sometime when Karna would shoot arrows at Arjuna's chariot, maybe Karna was able to push Arjuna's chariot 3 or 4 inches behind. And the Lord immediately would exclaim, "Very good, very good." He was appreciating the act of Karna. And Arjuna was quite amused and surprised. And he raised this question right while the battle was going on. He said, "My dear Lord, how is this that I am able to hit his, when I shoot his arrows, not that his chariot goes back, it flies back. And he has to take hard efforts to come close to me. And you don't say anything. But when Karna is pushing my chariot just 1 or 2 steps behind, you are exclaiming, you are saying, 'Very good, what is this?'" The Lord said, "Who is sitting on your chariot? I am sitting." Therefore, even though I am sitting, he is pushing little behind. So it is my duty to appreciate that. For you to push his chariot, to make his chariot fly, is not a big deal. And one Vaishnava Acharya from Madhva Sampradaya explains, he gives this analogy to explain, practice of devotional service is like that, especially in this age of Kali. In the previous yugas, to keep Maya and to keep sinful activities away from us was not a big deal. Because one is born in a very pure condition, one has got all proper samskaras. So to keep Maya away is not a big deal. You will not get much appreciation from the Lord. It is expected of everyone. But in this age of Kali, if somebody is able to push little Maya away, Krishna, he appreciates more. And others may complain from the age of the previous yugas. You know, what is this? We did so much and no so much of mercy. But in this age of Kali, people are doing very little and you are giving so much of mercy. And therefore in the Bhagavatam it is explained that all the demigods, they are waiting in line to take birth in this age of Kali. Why? Because the psychology of the Lord, His Holiness Radhanand Swami Maharaj is explaining one time, very amazing point, the psychology of the Lords in this age, especially Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, is that this is the psychology of Lord. Everybody has their psychology. Everybody has their mindset. And what is the mindset of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The mindset of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that wherever there is low behavior, wherever there is sinful activity, there they deposit their mercy. It's a big contradiction. Where people are not qualified, they are looking for them and trying to bring them and give their mercy. That is the behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like in India, the reservation is there. Those who are not qualified, they are given better facilities. It's a distorted version. But in the spiritual realm, Krishna needs to do that. And because he does it, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then practice of devotional service becomes very easy. Nobody can complain. If Jagaya Madais can become devotees, there is no excuse for anyone not to practice devotional service. Again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful story. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives very nice commentary on some part of the story. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri, there was one devotee called Gopinath Patnayak. He was the brother of Ramanand Roy. And this Gopinath Patnayak, even though he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was attached to sense gratification. And he would squander the government money. Of course, we are not supporting the behavior of Gopinath Patnayak, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises him. And one day, some devotees came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, My dear Lord, please protect Gopinath Patnaik because the Badajan, the prince, has put Gopinath Patnaik on Changa. He has raised him on Changa and is about to kill him. Changa is a platform where beneath the platform there are upraised swords. And they drop the criminal from that platform when he falls right on those sharpened swords and is killed like that. So Gopinath Patnaik was raised on Changa by the prince, the son of King Pratap Rudra. Because he had squandered some money, he had to pay back the government treasury. And all the devotees came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requesting that you please protect him. And Mahaprabhu said, this is not none of my business. I am a sannyasi. I am practicing my devotional service. Don't come and bother me like this. And the devotees are requesting, but my dear Lord, they are your devotees. You being indifferent to them, it does not befit your position. Mahaprabhu said, I cannot do anything. As a beggar, I can ask for 5 kaudis. But asking for 200,000 kaudis is not fair. And after all, Gopinath Patnaik has squandered the government's money. Rather than giving it back to the treasury, he has squandered it. And Lord Chaitanya said, the money of government is more valuable than the money of Brahmana. And this Gopinath Patnaik is squandering the money to go and watch the dance of a woman. Said, why should I support him? If you want to be protected, you go all pay and pray to Lord Jagannath. Mahaprabhu became very upset. And meanwhile, not only Gopinath Patnaik, the prince also imprisoned another brother, Vaninath. And he was also imprisoned. And when the devotees came and reported back, my dear Lord, even Vaninath has been captured by prince. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, when he was captured, what did Vaninath Rai do? And the devotee said, when he was captured by the prince and his soldiers, Vaninath Rai fearlessly was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And when he would continue chanting, he would count his name on both of his fingers. And when he would finish 1,000 names, and he would mark on his body. He said, that's what he is doing. Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. And eventually, by so many tricks of different devotees, Gopinath Patnaik was also released. And he came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, my dear Lord, because of your mercy, I have been released. Not only I have been released, the king has released me from all the debts. Rather, he has given me promotion and has doubled my salary. But actually, this is not your mercy. Gopinath Patnaik, even though he was engaged, that is the point, even though he was engaged in sense gratification, he knew that everything has happened because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He was not satisfied with that mercy. Because of his condition, he was engaged in sense gratification, but he was not satisfied. He said, your real mercy is bestowed towards Vaninath Rai and Ramanand Rai. They have given up all their sense gratification and they are exclusively engaged in your service, and I do not have that mercy. Therefore, this is not real mercy. So please help me to be detached from this material world and let me be exclusively engaged in your service. Lord Chaitanya said, there is no need. Mahaprabhu said, either you are in the renounced order or you are engaged in the activities of matter, it doesn't matter. As long as you understand you are servant of Krishna, that is most important. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, being a sannyasi or being connected to the matter is all material. What is important is that one should be a servant of Krishna. One should understand this principle that I am eternally servant of Krishna, and with that consciousness, when you engage in whatever activities you are engaged, then you are protected from fall down. Therefore, Hridayanand Maharaj explains that while practicing devotional service, our conditioned nature may overcome us regularly because of our contact with the material modes, because of the contact of the matter. It may happen that our condition may overflow us and it may disturb our consciousness. But that should not lead us towards depression of our consciousness. Sometimes we see that bhakti or devotional service may lead us towards becoming depressed, so I am not getting purified. He says there is no need. One may have this understanding that I am servant of Krishna and try to engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time one devotee, he wrote to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying that I committed one big aparad. What was his aparad? He did something which he was not supposed to do. He actually did not follow the Vaishnava etiquette. There was one temple opening and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was supposed to perform the puja, but rather he doing it, unknowingly one of his disciples did that. You can imagine the opening ceremony, inauguration of the temple has to be done by the spiritual master, and by some mistake a disciple does. How much bad he will feel. And the disciple was remorseful. He said, what I have done? I have committed big offense. He could not directly approach Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur through one of his god brother. And Srila Saraswati Thakur wrote back to him. Very beautiful letter. He said, one who is engaged in the service of the Lord, with this understanding that I am servant of Krishna, even if he performs some mistake, Krishna does not take it very seriously. Krishna forgives him. But one who has got wrong motivations, then such a person, there is always chance of he committing offenses at every stage of his life. Just see, that a person who has got a wrong motivation has got every chance of committing offenses at every step. Therefore, the process of bhakti involves of at least trying to change our attitude. If we begin with the principle of our attitude, then even though our material senses, because of our conditioning, may not allow us to engage in exclusive devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because of this attitude that I am servant of Krishna, that attitude will save us in the right time. But on the other hand, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, those who want to become one with God, even though apparently they may be engaged in a pure behavior, they are not getting involved in the object of the senses, but because their attitude is wrong, at every step they are making mistake. Therefore that devotee, not devotee, when Raghunath Bhatt Goswami was coming back to Vrindavan, to Jagannath Puri, to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one person, Ramdas Vishwas. He exhibited humility. He exhibited service attitude. He was carrying all the belongings of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami throughout the journey for many, many months. Never exhibited arrogance. And Raghunath Bhatt Goswami was very ashamed of that. He said, what are you doing this? You don't have to do all these things. But that person continued. But when they came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. But he completely neglected Ramdas Vishwas. Why? Because the Vishwas's attitude, the Ramdas Vishwas's attitude was, he wanted to merge in the existence of the Supreme Personality of God. He wanted to become one with God. And therefore Kaviraj Goswami explains that amongst Kaitava, amongst the cheating religion, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, is the cheating religion. And amongst that cheating, Kaitava Pradhan. What is Kaitava Pradhan? Moksha Vanchaye Kaitava Pradhan. One who desires to become one with God, that is the greatest kind of cheating. So therefore, simply by understanding that I am servant of Krishna, Prabhupada writes there, simply by this understanding that I am servant of Krishna is the greatest kind of practicing devotional service. And on top of that, if we get time and some facilities to hear in the association of devotees, then within no time, one develops detachment for this material world. He already has that feeling that whatever sense gratification I'm engaged in, it's all useless. But he's forced to engage because of his conditioned nature. But he knows that I am not supposed to be. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord, one time Maharaj was mentioning, Radhana Swami Maharaj, that a devotee of the Lord is the most miserable species. A fallen devotee is the most miserable species in the world. Why? Because the materialistic person, at least his senses are become so dull. He tries to enjoy sense gratification and at least assumes that he is enjoying sense gratification, even though he is suffering. The mental assumption gives him some satisfaction. But the devotee of the Lord, one who is not seriously practicing, because he knows and he can never forget that. He can never forget that sense gratification leads to misery. He can never forget that without being servant of Krishna, there is no happiness. So all the time, whenever he tries to enjoy sense gratification, this understanding becomes very clear that you are not supposed to do this. You are not supposed to enjoy. Therefore, he is the most miserable species. And that is very good. If he is the most miserable species, even though he is engaged in sense gratification, that is a very good hope for such a devotee. And because of that, he gives up all those sense gratification and engages in the pure devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we see that is Vrindavan. Different from Rishikesh and Haridwar. Srila Prabhupada explains that Rishikesh and Haridwar is meant for the impersonalist. It looks very beautiful. It looks nice. You are right close to the foothills of the Himalayas. Mother Ganga is flowing. There are many, many monasteries of big, big sadhus. But there is no relationship. Krishna is missing there. The principle of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is missing there. But if you come to Vrindavan, the cows are moving, the cowherd boys are moving, the cowherd women are doing some household activities. It looks very ordinary. But because Krishna is there, that ordinary becomes transcendental. And that same activity which we perform in that mood, it leads us to the spiritual realm of Golok Vrindavan. Therefore, when we hear the activities of devotees, yesterday we were discussing in the night about the behavior of the Pandavas. From the general understanding, the behavior of the Pandavas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was filled with so many improper behavior. So many improper behavior. And therefore, many big, big scholars in India, they have written books about how Krishna was responsible for acting, you know, crookedly so that to make Pandavas victorious. And Pandavas, even though they were very religious, they acted whimsically and immorally. We were discussing one story when Duryodhan was about to be killed. There was a fair fight. Even Balram came there. Duryodhan and Bhima were fighting with each other. And as long as the fair fight was going on, Duryodhan was getting upper hand. And Bhima was becoming exhausted. It is explained that Bhima had got great strength in compared to Duryodhan, but Duryodhan was very dexterous in fighting. Chapal. He could avoid the shoots of or hits of Bhima. So Bhima became very exhausted. Only thing Duryodhan was doing was he was avoiding the hits of Bhima, and at some time he would hit back Bhima. So Bhima was gaining, he was becoming exhausted and Duryodhan was getting upper hand. And then Krishna, he smashed, he just started patting on his thigh and he showed it to Bhima. He said, you have to hit here. And suddenly when the fair fight was going on, when you are not expecting unfair fight, you are vulnerable. And Bhima, while fighting a fair fight, suddenly hit on the thighs of Duryodhan and Duryodhan collapsed. And Balram became very angry. He was about to kill Bhima. But Krishna stopped him. And when the battle was over, when Duryodhan was lying, even the demigods from the heavenly planet, they showered flowers on Duryodhan, not on Bhima. Not only they showered flowers on Duryodhan, but they spoke also, this is unfair, O Pandavas. You acted irreligiously. It is against the religious principle. What you have done is against the religious principle. And the Pandavas hung their head. And they looked at Krishna. The demigods, the sages, even Balram also, when everybody was against, Krishna was there with the Pandavas. They said, don't worry. Krishna supported the behavior of the Pandavas. If you just read the Mahabharata, from the Mahabharata point of view, you'll find faults with Krishna also. Because the demigods were finding. They said, you are wrong, Pandavas. They showered flowers on Duryodhan. And even Pandavas believed that. Therefore, they hung their head. But when they looked at Krishna, Krishna completely supported the Pandavas. When they saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is supporting them, they became very satisfied. So therefore, when we read Mahabharata only from the Mahabharata point of view, which Vyasadeva wrote and Narad Muni condemned it. Why did he condemn? Even though time to time there is a glorification of Lord Krishna, this kind of story minimizes the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It minimizes the position of great devotees of the Lord. Up to the extent even the demigods can misunderstand. Therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Name vidu surugana prabhavam na maharshaya aham adire devanam maharshinam cha sarvasha. Arjuna, it is very difficult for even the demigods and the great sages to understand me. What to speak of ordinary people, those who write big novels condemning Krishna's behavior. Even the demigods and the great sages, they cannot understand. And it is proved that they showered flowers on Duryodhan. And the demigods, they proclaim that you Pandavas, you have done big sin. And even Pandavas believed that. Even Balramji was against the Pandavas. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, don't worry. Whatever you have done is the right thing. Therefore, in the path of devotional service, we see that what apparently has been condemned by the ordinary people, and they will condemn. There is no doubt that they will not condemn. They will condemn the behavior of a practicing devotee. But when we look to Krishna, there is always hope-giving glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That you don't worry, you continue to believe, you continue to have this attitude that you are my eternal servant, and practice devotional service as much as possible, and continue to feel this guilty consciousness that sense gratification is not good. So when we have this feeling, then what does it do? Then it forces us eventually to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore we see that Srila Prabhupada would tell some of his devotees about whom he knew that they are going to eventually fall down. He told one devotee, he came to him and said, Prabhupada, give me sannyas. Prabhupada said, no sannyas for you. Because after I depart from this world, you are going to fall down. Prabhupada told him like that. After I leave this world, you are going to fall down. Therefore, I will not give you sannyas. But anyway, you don't stop chanting Hare Krishna. And this devotee would come regularly to the temple. He would perform all kinds of sinful activities. He wanted to give up. But he was forced to perform sinful activity. But he would come to the temple, the bead bag in his hand, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then because he continued to feel that guilty consciousness, at the right moment, Krishna purified him. And this is the case of many, many devotees. Why? That was their qualification. As Prabhupada explains here, the qualification was they had this unflinching devotion to their spiritual master. That was their qualification. And that's what Prabhupada says. That is the only qualification in this age of Kali. That having that some affection for the great devotees of the Lord, we are not qualified to practice the process of Krishna consciousness, but because of this little feeling towards the pure devotees, eventually we become exclusively practitioner of devotional service. Therefore here in Rishabhdev, even though he is speaking very strong language, which is what every preacher will do, he will present Krishna conscious philosophy without compromising. But when he handles the situation of the fallen devotees, they apply the philosophy in a broader perspective. Therefore, the Bhagavat Marg, it does not make anybody feel exclusive in devotional service. Anybody can practice the Jnana Marg, the Ashtanga Marg. It is the path of exclusiveness. The practitioner feels that I am the exclusive person to practice. It is not meant for everybody. Very rare. Even though bhakti is very rare, but still it is applicable or applied or practiced by, can be practiced by everybody. That is the special character of devotional service. You don't find in the Ashtanga class this small child taking part. In Ashtanga class, you have to have a slim body. You need to practice certain yogas. Only if you practice that process which is mentioned in the Ashtanga yoga, then you attain success. But Bhakti Yoga is not like that. Bhakti Yoga is a very broad. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, while concluding the limbs of devotional service, when he talks about 64 items of devotional service, he concludes by saying, either you practice all the 64 items, and then you know that because people will not be able to practice 64, he says, at least practice one anga. Aneka anga or one anga. One of these two. You may practice all the items of devotional service, or you may practice one item of devotional service, the result is same. Either practicing one or practicing 64, result is the same. But when a devotee sees that by practicing one limit is there is so much of result, what does he do? He tries to increase the limbs of devotional service. Even though from the perspective of bhakti, from the perspective of devotional service, it doesn't matter practicing one or 64. But from the point of view of devotee, he does not take it for granted. Why practice only one? He practices more. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, one time, one devotee, when he was reading Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and when he heard that even if you chant one time Hare Krishna mantra, or if you take one time Krishna Prasad, then you attain perfection. And this devotee was raising this question. Srila Prabhupada, if by chanting one time one can attain perfection, then his question was about to be, then why there is a need to endeavor so much, chant 16 rounds? Prabhupada immediately realized before he could ask the question. Prabhupada said, you are being very calculative. He said, that is not the mood of a devotee. A devotee says, if by chanting one round I can get so much of benefit, what to speak of chanting more rounds? A devotee is like a greedy businessman. A businessman, when he knows that by investing 1 rupees I can get 1 crore rupees, you think he'll be satisfied with that? If he's satisfied, he's not a real businessman. What does he do? He will take all the money from all other investment and invest every penny, because he knows that investing 1 rupees here, I get 1 crore rupees. Why not invest everything here? So similarly, in devotional service, when a devotee comes to know, he understands that by little practice, one ang of devotional service can give me perfection. Why not practice more limbs of devotional service? And this is how a devotee practices devotional service. Even though at this stage he may not be so absorbed, he may not be able to practice all the limbs of devotional service, but because he has this consciousness, as we discussed from quoting the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he knows that I am servant of Krishna, and because he feels that guilty consciousness, at one point of time he continues to practice devotional service to Krishna exclusively, engaging all of his senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comment? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, for this Yuga, Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam gives the Yuga Dharma. So, then what was the why was Srila Vyasadeva instrumental in writing Mahabharata and other Vedic scriptures?
Just like, you know, in the medical shop, there's different kinds of medicine. According to your disease, according to time, place, circumstances. Sometimes you have the same disease, but in the beginning, doctor may prescribe one medicine. on the later stage of same disease, he may change the medicine. So similarly, Vyasadeva, again, all these Vedic literatures, they are there eternally. There is no wrong in compilation of those literatures. But what was the mistake made by, not mistake, that was the pastimes of Lord and his devotees. There is no wrong in compiling all this Vedic literature. But the problem was the primary literature was not given importance and the secondary literatures got importance. The primary principle of devotional service and the primary principle of glorification of Krishna became secondary. Therefore, Narad Muni condemned. Because if you read Mahabharata in the beginning, it is very clearly mentioned that Mahabharata is compiled with only one reason, to glorify Krishna. But while doing it, because Vyasadeva wanted to make it more available to everybody. He wanted to make it more available. But while doing it, he also added the principle of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And because the dharma, artha, kama, moksha came inside, and the dharma, artha, kama, moksha took the primary role, and the glorification of the Lord took the secondary role. Therefore, Narad Muni condemned it. In fact, Vyasadeva himself, he explained, he was thinking, why am I not feeling satisfied? Then he said, yeah, because I have not glorified Krishna sufficiently. So there is no wrong in Mahabharata. There is no wrong in Vedanta Sutra. There is no wrong in Upanishads. They are required. But when they take the primary principle, they become the most prominent and the Bhagavad is not given the position, then that is the problem. So when the Bhagavad came, so therefore Mahabharata is also okay. Prabhupada wanted to write commentary on Mahabharata. They are very nice. Upanishads are good. Prabhupada wrote commentary on Sri Upanishad. There is no harm in them. But they have to be seen through the eyes of the Bhagavad scripture. Demigod worship. Where does Krishna say that you don't worship demigod? He says demigod worship is performed by less intelligent people. At least the principle of worship is involved when you worship demigods. Rather than no worship, it is better to worship somebody. Therefore, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what is better, demigod worship or worshipping from other religion? In the other religious scripture, Mlechad and Yavanas, they have a religion. So which will help us to advance towards the highest perfection? Prabhupada was not speaking from the fanatical or a narrow-minded point of view. Prabhupada said, being in the house of the Vedas is always better. Because if you are in the house of the Vedas, even if you are worshipping the demigods, eventually you will come to the level of worshipping Krishna. But if you are not, just like somebody asked this question to one of Prabhupada's disciple, one of Prabhupada's god brother, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciple only, about worshipping Jesus Christ. And this god brother said, is it static or is it dynamic? Do you stay there or you go further? If the worship of Jesus Christ, they are satisfied with that, then it is not so good. Demigod worship is not like that. A demigod worship, when you worship, you will not be satisfied. There is always a facility to go higher. Therefore, while worshipping the demigods, eventually come to the higher platform. Because the whole process of demigod worship is in the house of the Vedas. Why do you worship the demigods? Because your material desires. When they fulfill your material desires, when you are disgusted with material desires, then you respect them but don't worship them. You don't avoid them. You don't deny their existence. A devotee of the Lord does not deny or does not ridicule the existence of the demigod. So similarly, all these Vedic literatures, we don't deny their existence. We don't deny their validity. But what do we deny is that they cannot take prominent position over Srimad Bhagavatam. Our life goal is to glorify Krishna and perform devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And while you are doing all this, if you are doing also your family life, then there is no harm in that family life. You are doing your business, there is no harm in that family life and that business. And if you are doing sense gratification also, Krishna explains, little sense gratification, you can't avoid it. There is no harm. But when you give prominent position to sense gratification, you think goal of life is sense gratification, then you had it. You say, no, impersonal liberation, then that is wrong. When Krishna takes the primary position, then Krishna does not mind anything else. That is the point. So we'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.